Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
The Early Trade for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. And for Bunnings. Find out how Bunnings Trade can help your business at bunnings.com.au/trade.
It's very good morning to you. Day number three of Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Myself, Kane Corns, and Matthew Lloyd taking you through your morning on the Early Trade. If you want to get involved in joining the conversation with us, it's 1-300-2355-48. That's the Kogan Mobile open line. Make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. You can tweet us at Trade Radio. And this year, for the first time ever, you can send us a text and join in your discussion that way on 0419 187 323. Massive morning coming up. More news developing yesterday late, which we'll get through. And also joining us this morning, Justin Reid, the Crows list manager. So Crows fans, you're looking for a question that you need us to ask Justin Reid, let us know, text it through, and we'll do our best to put it through to him a little bit later on. The three-time Coleman medal winning champion and a man who loves the trade space is my co-host Matthew Lloyd. Lordo, good morning.
Morning, Cornsy. I've got a challenge for you this morning, and right. I want a list from you by 8 a.m. So this is the challenge for you this morning, okay? Yep. With the news that Darren Burgess is going to the Adelaide Crows, I want you to rank in order the importance of these roles within a football club. All right? So, senior coach.
Yep.
CEO.
Right.
List manager.
Oof.
Fitness coach. And your club's best player.
Okay.
So, I want from 1 to 5 in importance what you need to get done right. My brother Brad used to say, Ross Lyon used to call him the spokes in the wheel. You need to get the every spoke in the wheel right, get the best of the best, and everything should fall into place. So that's your challenge off the back of Darren Burgess leaving to list the areas of importance that you would nail if you were running a footy club.
All right, there's a list for me. We'll also have Lordo's list as well a little bit later on. So he's not getting out of his own list, but this is an extra list, which we love. And if you want to have a chat to Lordo, he's named his 7 best key forwards in the competition as well. We can go through that a little bit later on.
I got smashed on that, Kano.
I saw a couple of criticisms. Yeah,
but my list was 200-centimetre players. So around the 200-centimetre players. So people are going, how does a Coleman medalist where he is, it was. So I just gave the producers of Sports Day a call and said it was talls in the game, not forwards. So some are saying Nick Cox, he doesn't play forward. It was around the height, 200-centimetre players in the game.
I saw a couple of people upset. I think Mark Stevens upset that Aaron Norton wasn't involved, Lordo. So you got to be very careful not just to read the headline. You actually got to listen to the quotes, people. Speaking of Darren Burgess, Lordo, big news yesterday as I think Caroline Wilson revealed on Footy Classified, I don't know, after about round 8 or 9 that he would be joining the Adelaide Football Club. So it's a big get for them, and we'll do the list later on in terms of where a good fitness man ranks. What about the moves of assistant coaches in the off-season and fitness men? So there is no secrets anymore in football. Like, honestly, like the exchange of information between clubs this off-season, Darren Burgess walks straight into the Adelaide Football Club with a document, a blueprint of exactly how Melbourne have done this and won this premiership. So he sits in on all the selection meetings, all the review meetings. He would have detailed information about their game plan, all of their fitness metrics, their GPS numbers, skin, anything you want, you know, the pre-season program, exactly the amount of kilometres of players run, the high-speed running. He brings that document to the Adelaide Football Club. Is that an issue now in the game, or that's just part and parcel of the industry that we're in?
It is. I think, Kane, if you're good, like Richmond people knew what they were doing for a period of time, but if you're that good, you can know what they're doing, but trying to stop it's another thing. So, you know, then other teams come along and they might be good for 1 year. Teams work them out. I think players get exposed. I think that's the biggest challenge as an individual player too, Kane. When you have one breakout season, you hear a lot about second-year blues. It's often because you get figured out and teams start to work you out. I remember my early years, I didn't realise I was doing it, but David Whedon, do you remember David Whedon? We were coming up against David at Richmond and he said, Lloyd always leads to his left. So let's place a player 20 metres on the left-hand side because he rarely wants to go to his right side. So I didn't realise I was doing it, but I was actually doing that. So I had to try and obviously, make sure I didn't keep doing that to try. So, I mean, players get exposed, teams get exposed, and that's why players can go missing and teams can go missing after a certain period of time. But I think if you're any good, you know what Petrarca and Oliver and them are doing, and the way they get you out the front of the stoppage, and Lever and May, the way they set up and all that. But I think their game style is that it's based around effort and pressure and all that sort of thing. So it's a hard one to break down Melbourne for a period of time. So I wouldn't be too concerned if I was Melbourne with Burgess taking things. It's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to stop it.
Yeah, and I think you've got to be careful as well not to try and replicate what other teams have done, because they have certain strengths with their personnel. Like, to think that Adelaide can just automatically flick the switch and play like Melbourne play when they don't have, for example, two intercepting defenders, behind the ball. They don't have the power through the midfield yet. They don't have two dynamic ruckmen would be a risk for Matthew Nix. But anyway, it's a great get for the Crows. The only thing I'll say about Darren Burgess is he doesn't stay in one place for very long. So he was at Port Adelaide for from 2004 to 2008. He then went to Football Australia for 3 years. He then went to Liverpool for 2 years. He came back to Port Adelaide for 4 years. Halfway through the 2017 season, he left his contract and went back to Arsenal for 2 years. And then he came to Melbourne for 2 years, and now he's on the move to Adelaide. So I don't think Crows fans should expect Darren Burgess to be sticking around for 10 years and guiding them through like Andrew Russell did at Hawthorn. He's a person who is always on the move and looking for different challenges and opportunities. It's one of the best CVs you've ever seen in this space, but he just doesn't stay put in one place for very long.
Do you think he does that because he feels he can't give any more? He's given all his ideas and thoughts? Or you just think that's him?
Well, I think a couple of occasions that the offer was just too good to refuse. Like when you've got Liverpool coming for you with a big offer and a global brand to go and work for them, I think you can understand that. But then he went from Liverpool back to Port Adelaide, and I know the Port Adelaide people at the time thought, well, he's in for the long haul here, did a great job, won 5 games in 2012 to winning a final in 2013, and then halfway through the year he goes back to Arsenal and only lasted there for 2 years, and then to Melbourne for 2 years. So back to Adelaide for family reasons. Amazing get for the Crows, and I heard Matty Rendell speak about this on the afternoon edition of Trade Radio yesterday, and he just said it is the best recruit of anyone this year in terms of players or any move that any club is going to make, but I don't think he's going to be there for that long. Lordo, early text, would Port's pick 16 get Shield from Essendon? Now, I'm big on Shield to Port Adelaide. I said it halfway through the year. It was on the back of actually something you said on Footy Classified, where you just sort of questioned where Dylan Shield fits in the Essendon midfield, and the fact that two or three others had gone past him, and now Jake Stringer's playing more midfield time. I'm thinking, well, there's an Adelaide connection there with Dylan Shield, and they need an extra midfielder, and has he been squeezed out at the Bombers? Now, of course, with that contract, it's unlikely to happen, but would you do that deal? Is that a win-win, pick 16 to Essendon and Shield to Port Adelaide?
It's a great question, because I'd love to know where Ben Rutten and Adrian Dodoro currently see Dylan Shield. So publicly, they've spoken, no, we see Dylan Shield as an inside midfielder and those sorts of things. But so many guys have gone past him. He had injuries this year, so I think he'll be at Essendon next year. But it's a massive season for Dylan and the club, just to see where he fits within their framework, Kane, because Andrew McGrath missed a bit of footy. He's in front of him. Parrish is in front of him. Merritt's in front of him. Stringer's in front of him. I reckon Caldwell.
Well, they were speaking about Caldwell. Ben Rutten said he was the best performer in the preseason. So, and he's a young player that they gave up a bit to get, so they're going to want to give him exposure. So I don't see Dylan Chill as a half forward. I see him as a dynamic, powerful midfielder through there, and I'd love to see him at Port Adelaide. I really would. I know it's unlikely to happen because you've got to get both parties to agree, but I think he solves problems for both clubs. Is that a win-win trade? Let us know your thoughts on that one. And if you've got any other suggestions that trades you might speculate and you want us to sort of dissect and see how they work, it's part of the beauty of Trade Radio. Get involved on 0419 187 323. We're here for Type. Yep.
Sorry, I've cut in with the sponsors there. Type Out. I just wanted to also throw up with you for later and for our audience and our listeners. Jordan Clark, like, he's going to go. And we don't know how good Jordan Clark is. My big area of him is his kicking lets him down, but he wasn't given a chance at Geelong. And we're reading in today's paper that Matthew Scarlett said, I don't want him in my back line. He's not playing. But I'd be nervous. I think they're lucky that Narkle decided to stay. I can't believe he signed with Geelong for a year.
I couldn't believe that either.
So players that also don't get an opportunity and players that you'd be nervous. So I'd be nervous if I was Chris Scott. This is one that if Jordan Clark goes and becomes a really high-class quality player for the Fremantle Dockers, the pressure that places on Chris Scott even more so going into a big year for him next season.
So you reckon we did Lordo's list yesterday about the players who were, you know, good pickups and made an immediate impact that didn't cost you much. Do you think he's one that could come back to bite the Cats? 3 years, they used a pick 15 to get him. Clearly he's got some AFL attributes with speed and athleticism. We're reading this morning, I think in the Herald Sun, that Geelong want to pick somewhere between, you know, that 8 and 27 that Fremantle have got, and it's not going to be 27 that's going to satisfy them. But you reckon he has ability to come back to bite the Cats?
I think so. I think the over in Perth, the running power that he's got, we've seen the way players can improve their kicking at Melbourne. If they do some work with him, I remember Jack McRae couldn't kick that well. And the work they've put into Jack McRae to become a high-class quality player, I just don't think he was given a fair opportunity. It's what they lack is youth. They've given away all their picks with youth because of Jeremy Cameron. So he's one that, just wonder across the competition, that one makes me the most nervous if I'm a Cats man. And who else across that competition makes you nervous? Like Patrick Lipinski, for example. He's got something about him, Patrick, but for whatever reason, Bevo just didn't give him a chance. Whether he's not hard enough, I don't know what it is about him, but it'll be interesting to see how he fares at Collingwood as well. But some Doggies fans are flat keen with that one.
Yeah, they would be. Doggies fans, let us know your thoughts on that. Lipinski, they did offer him a 3-year contract. They released a statement yesterday, which was interesting, the information that they did say, just to say, look, we wanted him. 3 years was on the table, but clearly he's decided to go to Collingwood. So we'll get to all that news that came through yesterday in a big get for Collingwood. Just be interesting to see how they value him. I got no idea how to value players like that. Players that clearly have a future at one club and for whatever reason haven't been given the exposure but have attributes to be a very good player. Like how do you value these types of players? So what's Lipinski worth is what I'm trying to say. Is it an early third round pick? Is it a second round pick? Or some would say it's a late first round pick. It's just an impossible thing to value players like this and put a draft value next to them.
Okay, and I don't reckon they have a leg to stand on a lot of these clubs. Like when you're trying to trade Ben Brown and Alia, Jordan Clark, Lipinski, if you're not playing them yourself, how can you demand too much of them? So I'd be surprised if Jordan Clark is anywhere. It has to be in the 20s. Like in the 20s, because when you're not playing him, how can you get anywhere near a top 15 to 20 selection? So I think Fremantle are in the box seat with this one.
I like the club under the most pressure, the Cats. It feels that way for me, and they don't have a lot of moves to make because of the draft picks that they had to give up for Jeremy Cameron. And the talk about Chris Scott when journalists like Damian Barrett are sort of saying, well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Scott is on the move at the end of this year. That hasn't been that sort of talk for a team that made a prelim final, and the lack of youth coming through. Now you get a couple of youngsters perhaps leaving. Feels to me the Geelong fans, despite all their success and their winning record in the home and away season, are under the pump in this trade period to actually make something happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of change. The fallout. They've made a grand final and a prelim, but I think like the Giants have missed their run, missed their chance. Damo also threw up, Kane, last week that Harry Taylor may come back from Perth and form part of the assistant coaches at Geelong. So suddenly it's probably the experience of Knights goes, the experience of Enright, the experience of Scarlett, and in come James Kelly and Harry Taylor. So it's going to be very, very different coaching panel, Kane, and an inexperienced one, unless they can land, you know, a more experienced person to sit alongside Chris Scott.
Yeah, and is it too Geelong? I mean, a couple of club legends coming back in. Is that too in? I mean, they've always been pretty strong on supporting their own. Scarlett's been there, Enright's been there, and now Kelly, and also Harry Taylor potentially coming back